Be seated, please. Your Excellency, Dr. Hage G. Geingob, President of the Republic of Namibia, the Honorable Lucas Simbo Muha, Chairperson of the National Council, Your Lordship, Peter Chivute, Chief Justice of the Republic of Namibia, and the Right Honorable Prime Minister Sarakungera Mandela, Honorable McHenry Venani, Leader of the Official Opposition, Your Lordship, Beatrice Tamasev, Deputy Chief Justice, respected Service Chiefs, Honorable Members of Parliament, Mrs. Rosemary Jane Kachavime, my dear wife, fellow citizens, ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you back, Honorable Members, to this joint sitting of Parliament, which signals the commencement of our parliamentary year. Last year, 2021, left us with memories of our departed family members, friends, and colleagues. We think of them, and more recently, we mourn the loss of Honorable Katutire Kaura, who was one of the members of the Constituent Assembly and a founding member of the National Assembly. I will therefore request that we all rise for a minute of silence. Honorable members, tomorrow, 9 February, will mark 32 years since the adoption of the Namibia Constitution by the founding fathers and mothers of our country. It will be good to celebrate this important day in the annals of our history in a more significant way. Rule 15D of the Standing Rules and Orders of the National Assembly calls for the head of state to officially open the parliament and its first session every year. Let us remember that the president is a guest in this house, and he should be accorded due respect. It is against this background that I wish to apologize to him, Your Excellency, for the disruption during the question time after your State of National Address last year. Without further ado, I now kindly request you all to join me as I give the floor to His Excellency Dr. Hage G. Geingob, the President of the Republic of Namibia, to deliver his opening statement signaling the start of the 2022 parliamentary year. Your Excellency, you have the floor. I think you used to use your mic. Who's doing the CC system? How are they doing?
Welcome back. Our sincere apologies for the interruption as far as our broadcast from the National Assembly is concerned. They are experiencing technical challenges and we'll hold the fort in the meantime. Mr. Kapama, it's of course significant that it would appear that Data State will address the official opening of Parliament this time around in a virtual address. Is that in line with what you were talking about in terms of the developments around virtual engagements?
Yes, no. The virtual engagements have become part of our life. So, of course, in preparation for today, that was one of the questions that I was sitting with. Would it be virtual or would it be a virtual face-to-face in engagement? And like last year, we have seen that virtual engagement during the opening. And then we had for the State of the Nation address a face-to-face one. So it's more of a blended arrangement. And as I indicated, in a number of countries, some other countries, this has predated. It started taking place before COVID. With the realities of COVID, it is no longer that optional, but it has become a standing arrangement that sometimes Parliament would conduct its business, including this very important one, virtually, rather than in person.
Now, should MPs within the next couple of weeks adopt the virtual rules, we will see that becoming the future more and more. What impact will it have on the legitimacy of the proceedings?
Yes, now I think physical face-to-face meetings have their own added advantage in the sense that it creates close rapport between people. You can, in the course of the debate, there is a break, you start interacting more closely and so on. Now, when it is virtual, it may not have that advantage. Also, in an atmosphere such as that of Parliament, when the members of Parliament, they are there, they are making noise, whereas you are making your statement, sometimes you adapt to the environment. But when it's virtual, I'm not sure whether it would even be effective, especially in terms of the noise that members make, whereas another one is on the floor. That one may not be there, because also with a virtual arrangement, there is somebody who has the full control. So you could be muted on the other side and not you yourself muting. So I think it would not have the, it cannot become a totally replica. It cannot become a total, a full substitute. But it is something that we'll have to live with and perhaps try and see, adapt in order to create that spirit.
You're making mention of noise being made in the chambers. It does take us back to what we spoke about earlier as far as decorum is concerned. Before the Speaker of the National Assembly, Professor Peter Kashavibi, handed the floor virtually to the head of state, he of course apologized to President Kengob for what transpired during the in-person delivery of the State of the Nation address last year. What do you make of that?
Yes, now if you look at parliamentary tradition across the world, interjections, whereas the speaker is on the floor, the subtle comments below, it's part of the established parliamentary tradition in quite a number of countries. But as I said before, some of these traditional practices does not take away the responsibility of leaders in terms of the example that they set, in terms of the issues they address, and so on. There are two key violations, if members of parliament, because of the interjections, becomes physical, engage each other physically, that's not tolerated.
Mm.
If members of parliament starts using a language that is abusive,
thank you.
Then it becomes a...
Thank you very much, sir. Yeah. It's time for us to cross back to the head of state.
Prime Minister of the Republic of Namibia and leader of the government business in the House, Right Honourable Sarah Kuangala Amadira. Leader of the official opposition, Honourable Makhendri Benani. Honourable members of Parliament, Vice President of the Republic of Namibia, Comrade Nangolo Bumba, Your Worship Peter Chivute, Chief Justice, Your Lordship Petrus Damasep, Deputy Chief Justice, Honourable Judges and other members of the judiciary, ladies and gentlemen, at the outset, I would like to thank you, Honourable Speaker, for having invited me to officially open the fifth session of the seventh Parliament to commence the legislative year for 2022. Without further ado, let me come to the task for which you have invited me for by pointing out the following bills which are up for tabling during the course of the year. These are Combating of Rape Amendment Bill, 2, Combating of Domestic Violence Amendment Bill, 3, Criminal Procedure Amendment Bill, 4, High Court Amendment Bill, 5, Magistrate Court Amendment Bill, 6, Divorce Bill, 7, Torture Bill, 8, Obsolete Laws Bill, 9, Ombudsman Bill, 10, Child Justice Bill, and 11, Marriage Bill, 12, Uniform Marriages Bill, 13, Banking Institutions Amendment Bill, and 14, Metrology D Bill. I will highlight some of the key ones as follows. The Combating of Rape Amendment Bill will greatly assist in combating, capping, and eliminating the incidences of rape to safeguard our innocent women and children from this evil committed by criminally minded citizens. The incidences of rape must not only be severely reduced, but must be totally eradicated from the Namibian society, because this vile crime is a scourge which demeans and violates the dignity of our people. Hence, perpetrators should receive the heaviest punishment under our laws to deter them from committing this evil. Similarly, the passing of the Combating of Domestic Violence Amendment Bill is to stamp out the highest cases of gender-based violence against which the Namibian society has been crying out for 30 years. We hope that this will tighten the loopholes and enable easier reporting, investigation, and punishment of gender-based violence cases. This bill should serve as a serious reminder to offenders and would-be offenders that gender-based violence is taboo in the Republic of Namibia, punishable through heavy prison sentences. We are all aware that when it comes to rape and domestic violence, our men are the biggest offenders. Therefore, women are no longer viewed as second-class citizens who are expected to be obedient and subservient to their husbands. Let us accept that times have changed and that men and women are now viewed as equal partners. It is also a sad reality that while men are drinking in the bars, women are progressing socially, academically, and economically. When one attends graduation ceremonies, one sees more girls than boys. When one attends church, like I do, one sees more girls in church than boys. This trend is starting to show in the corporate world where women are starting to occupy higher positions. Some may even be higher earners than their husbands. This can frustrate a male chauvinist who may display frustration, aggression, such as beating and even killings. I appeal to my fellow men, let us become exemplary husbands, fathers, and the protectors of our families. Let's turn a new leaf in this year, the year of reimagining. I now move on to the divorce bill, which will make it easier for couples to divorce. As it stands, one can only divorce if one can prove that adultery or indiscretion has taken place. With the new bill, if two married persons have reached irreconcilable differences, they will be able to divorce. Hopefully, this contributes to reducing violence as well. However, we are not encouraging divorces. On a more positive note, the marriage bill will ensure that couples wedded north of the red line will be given an opportunity to change their marriages, marriage status, on whether they will be married out or in community of property. Currently, marriages north of the red line are automatically classified as out of community of property. This creates problems during divorce or when dealing with the estate on the death of a spouse. Honorable Speaker, next month we'll be celebrating 32 years of independence. Having fought a bitter struggle to liberate our country from apartheid colonialism, we should no longer accommodate or tolerate laws in Namibia that are racist or discriminatory in nature. Therefore, I am pleased that the obsolete laws bill will provide for the repeal of certain obsolete laws, many of which are discriminatory on the grounds of gender, race, color, ethnic origin, religion, creed, as well as social and economic status. There is no place for such laws in Namibian House. Finally, the torture bill originates from the bitter historical experiences of the majority of our citizens under the colonial apartheid administration, which has subjected them to physical torture. This bill will give expression to the aspirations of the Namibian Constitution to maintain the dignity of every Namibian citizen as sacrosanct by outlawing the practice of state-sanctioned torture and physical abuse of citizens. Its promulgation will forever put to rest the ghost of state-sanctioned torture in Namibia. While these bills aim to transform our socio-economic architecture, I must state, Comrade Speaker, that I have noted that a majority of these bills are recurring from the previous year. This could be attributable to the situation of COVID-19. Notwithstanding the COVID-19 independent intervening variable, going forward, many of these bills are essential to address pressing problems in our society. For this reason, we have to redouble our efforts to dispense with them as quickly as possible if we aim to truly make a difference in the lives of our people. Let us not display progress Let us not delay progress, but rather let us all strive to work tirelessly to become partners for peace, safety, economic development, and prosperity. Once again, Honorable Speaker and Honorable Members of Parliament, I would like to thank you for the honor accorded me to officially open the fifth session of the seventh Parliament. Let us remain focused on the primary task of giving our nation hope through this August House as we address their concerns effectively. Let us set an example in this Parliament of a united and dedicated people, of a will and determination to positively transform the nation. With these words, it is now my honor to declare the fifth session of the seventh Parliament officially open. May God bless all, and may God bless the Republic of Namibia. I thank you.
Peter Kachavivi, Speaker of the National Assembly, Your Excellency, Dr. Hage G. Geingob, the President of the Republic of Namibia, and Madam Geingob, the First Lady of the Republic of this country. Right Honorable Sarah Kongelwa Amadila, the Prime Minister of the Republic of Namibia, Honorable Netumbo Nandi Ndaitwa, Deputy Prime Minister and the Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, Your Lordship, Chief Justice Peter Chibute, Honorable McHenry Benani, leader of the
order, order, order.
Honorable
order.
Parliament.
Order, order, order.
Servants, chiefs, members of the media, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. I feel honored to move a vote of thanks on behalf of Parliament at this occasion of the official opening of Parliament. The official opening of Parliament today reminds us of the representative nature of the work of Parliament. Therefore, we ought to strive to meet the people's expectations, which are rightfully placed on our shoulder by the electors. It is my conviction that the opening remark by His Excellency, the President, has once again reminded us parliamentarians on the core mandate of Parliament as defined by our Constitution. These are, among others, to pass laws, to review the proposed legislation, people and to exercise oversight over the work of government officers, ministries, and artists. Honorable Speaker, notwithstanding the separation of power between the three organs of state, a level of collaboration such as this event will help us in our quest to deliver the overall constitutional mandate. We must continue to deepen the existing cordial relationship between the executive, the legislature, and the judiciary. Honorable Speaker, let me now turn my attention to the expressing our heartfelt gratitude to those who have made it to this auspicious occasion. I extend my utmost appreciation to His Excellency Dr. Hage G. Geingob, the President of the Republic of Namibia, for your words of wisdom and inspirational remarks. We wish you more strength and good health as you continue leading our nation to prosperity during this turbulent time of economic hardship and unprecedented COVID-19 pandemic. Appreciation also is extended to all members of the executive, all members of the legislature and judiciary. Despite your busy schedule, in your various capacities, you chose to grace this occasion of the official opening of Parliament. For all three organs of the state to be under one roof at one particular point in time, it should be understood as a sign of collaboration and not be mistaken with its appearance. I acknowledge the excellent arrangement made by the Parliamentary Secretariat under the guidance of the two secretaries of the two houses of Parliament for ensuring a smooth official opening of Parliament under the new normal. Last but not least, I further acknowledge the work and the effort of our NBC and other media institutions in disseminating important information to the public on the work of Parliament in general and for the successful covering this event. Honorable members, as I am drawing to the conclusion, please join me in thanking the Almighty for the good rain that some parts of this country have received so far. Let us all join the Namibian people, the fauna and the flora, in rejoicing because of the good rain. I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I now call on the Right Honourable Prime Minister to adjourn the sitting until further notice.
Honorable Speaker, Honorable Chairperson, I move to adjourn the joint sitting of Parliament until further notice in the National Assembly to reconvene on Tuesday, the 15th of February, 2022, at 14 hours 30.
Thank you. The House stands adjourned until the notice.